Baseball at the Barroom. On Monday nights, get ready for the Friendly Confines Extra Innings. It's 30 minutes, it's clever, it's concise, and it's all Cubs coverage. That's followed by a killer White Sox show, South Burbs Hitmen. Then on Thursday afternoon, it's Cubs and Sox opinions and analysis with Crosstown Crosstalk. Baseball at the Barroom. Join us live and or on demand.
White Sox fans to this day wanted A.J. Hinch. Tony La Russa haters that would rather have a guy to fix the playoffs and World Series and season than Tony La Russa. And I have a huge problem with that. I do. Don't go preaching about, okay, he drank and this and that, and he shouldn't have done this, he shouldn't have done that. You guys wanted A.J. Hinch, and you're going to talk to me about Tony La Russa.
I don't mean any disrespect. He just didn't play that well. Not for a guy of his caliber.
If they don't run the ball here, I'm going to vomit. I swear to God.
I don't really have any recollection of that at all, but I guess perhaps I blacked it all out.
You know, they won, but I'm going to be miserable all week because they stunk.
Everybody, it's Aldo Gandhi, and I just want to let you know really quickly that our swag shop is reopened. DeepDishTees.com is where you go, and that's Tees with T-E-E-S. Clever name, guys. They're the new home of our merchandise. You can get t-shirts, you can get caps, you can get coffee mugs, you can get hoodies, you can get all sorts of good stuff, and you'll help out the bar room with the purchase. So head over to DeepDishTees.com.
Hey, this is David Kaplan from the Cap J Hood Show on ESPN 1000 and NBC Sports Chicago. Now, get ready to listen and watch to Bulls 101 with Chris and Lero. Take that, Sparkles.
What's up, Bulls fans? This is Chris Amundson here with my guy, Lero Golden, at Bulls 101. Welcome this beautiful Saturday evening where we've got to see our first taste of USA basketball, and they blew it. They lost to Nigeria, who had an amazing performance, and Zach had a little ankle scare for a minute there. But it's just great to see Zach in USA basketball where he deserves to be. It's really excited to see. How do you enjoy the game, and what have you been thinking about the last week or so?
First of all, man, it feels good to be back talking to you, man. It's
too long.
It's been a while. Well, it feels like it's been a while.
Mark's food takes threw us off. We had to take a whole week and a half off from Mark's food takes.
I was chilling eating on my mayo chup, man. You know what I mean? That's no. What I do. No, the USA game against Nigeria was fun, but ultimately ended up being a stinker. But one of the a positive out of there is like you got coaches on that staff, you know Pop, Lloyd Pierce, Jay Wright, all these like really great basketball minds, and they decided to close with Zach. Like that to me says a lot about what they think about Zach. As a Bulls fan, I love that. There's just so much like that game really like starting Beal in Dame. Like, of course those dudes can score the rock, like no doubt, but like that tandem, like if you're having problems with Nigeria in an exhibition game, like what's going to happen when you come up against France or Serbia or any of these like big time
MVP
teams, like
Satoransky, you see him the other day.
Oh, man. Like, what are we going to do? I understand it's an exhibition game, but, like, this is a game where, like, usually, you know, okay, hey, guys, all right, let's put these guys away before they think they're going to win this ball game. And it just didn't happen. There was no – I feel like KD turned it on, but it was a little bit too late. But I feel like, you know, either this wakes them up and lets them know, like, hey, dudes are here to hoop. You know, they don't care that they see the USA across your chest. Like, they're here to beat you. This isn't like no disrespect to the World Cup and FIBA, any of that. But this is the Olympics, man. Like, people want to win this a medal for their country. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a lot of tough opponents out there. I mean, Gabe Vincent looked like he shouldn't have, you know, like, that dude was knocking down three balls left and right, man. Like, that's not good, man. That's not good. That's not good.
You know, as Santiago said, Nigeria has a lot of talent. Like, the international, these international talents are just getting better and better and better every 4 years. I mean, it's really amazing how worldwide basketball is and how amazing these teams are. You know, USA golds used to be a given, but we've seen it. And you said it. People are coming after USA.
Yeah.
Because they know. They know that history, and they know if they can catch them off guard, if they can, you know, catch them sleeping, and because, hey, we're just going to sleepwalk until the Olympics, they're going to get taken to the shed.
Yeah.
You saw it tonight. So, I'm excited to see Zach there, and I think Zach is one of those guys on that team that I really know will take it seriously.
Yeah.
He was really honored to be there. He said it. Pop said it multiple times. So, just exciting to see him. Yeah, Edward – put Zach in bubble wrap. After that ankle, you're like, come on, man. Come on. Are we gonna take this L today after all this?
There was a play that I did want to bring up because there was a lot of chatter like, oh, Zach's getting lost off ball again. And I just wanted to kind of bring it up because, like, I thought, like, Mike Brown drew this play up. Like, it was beautiful. Just because there was a lot of window dressing on one side of the floor, and it totally blindsided him and Draymond, actually. So it was really good play. And if we could just bring it up, like, I just think people just, you know, just got to slow it down. Maybe once in a while, just like run the play back, you know, and slow it down and really look what's going on. And like, if you take a look, like, when they're coming across the court here, they're dancing with the ball with Zach. Zach's guarding the ball. He's turning the guy. He's playing good on-ball defense here. He gets it to their big, and it turns into Chicago action with DHO coming downhill, down the middle of the court. And it looks like Zach was in the middle of, do I help from the nail? But knowing that his guy is kind of flaring towards the corner, but he's caught in between because there's another guy coming from behind him with a hammer screen. So, like, this that's all designed to do that, to get your attention going on the DHO. Obviously, if the guy can score off the DHO, he will. But the second option out of that is the guy to set that nice hammer screen, and you got a wide open three ball in the corner. And I don't think this is something that you can blame LaVine on, because he's caught in the middle here. It was just a great play call. You know, you got the USA were switching a lot in this game, and Dame just doesn't, you know, like, I love Dame. Don't get me wrong, but his defensive ability, man, is very frustrating sometimes. Like, I don't know. But, like, you know, LaVine here, he you could just see he was caught in the middle. Like, okay, can Dame handle that, or do I have to help? And as soon as he was like, oh, man, I got to get to my man, there's a hammer screen hitting him in the back, and there's no way he can get there because Draymond's helping at the basket, so there's no rotation there. And that was just a great play call by Mike Brown. It's a great play to call at that moment. And I just felt like who's ever watching needed to see that, because – you know, it's very easy to see that Zach's man and he's open. Like, why is that? Is Zach getting lost again? And that is not the case on that particular play. That's a play call where they're lulling you to sleep with the Chicago action, the guy coming downhill off the DHO. And next thing you know, you got a screen being set on the side of you. So that's a tough play for Levine in that situation. And I just thought we needed to see that and also give some credit to Mike Brown, man. That dude coached his butt off with that group, man. That wasn't a fluke. Those dudes were hooping, man. They weren't just like hitting lucky shots. These dudes were drawing up plays and running them, man. And they hit big time shots. So
yeah. Salim, I still think American four, baby. Let's go. Even on that. But yeah. So what you're saying is Zach was terrible defensively. No, he had a great play. He had a great play where he had a nice contest and then saved the ball from going out of bounds. He had a good time, and I think they'll get better with some more chemistry. But I'm just glad he's just in the right environment. In the right environment, and it's going to help him grow as a leader and as a basketball player. And it's just so fun to watch Zach LaVine play basketball recently. That man has grown so much since he got to Chicago. The way he plays, the efficiency at which he plays, the tenacity on defense, everything has just – he's just raised his game level so high. It's really just impressive. And as a fan, you just have to appreciate the artistry of Zach LaVine and see the improvement. So really exciting stuff there. So we'll get more of that. Just an exhibition game doesn't count. But as you said, Mike Brown – coached some really nice plays in the game. And, Salim said, who knows when he'll get another shot to coach. I don't know. There's still a couple slots open.
Yeah.
The Wizards haven't decided yet. And maybe some others. So
who knows? He might end up sticking with Indiana because who knows, man? Maybe he wants to just coach in Indiana for now. So we'll see.
So let's see. There hasn't been a ton of Bulls news directly. Mm-hmm. The last couple of weeks it's been pretty quiet, and I don't know about you, but I'm itching for anything. But we have had some news around the league of different teams that might be looking to shake things up in their roster. The big one obviously is when the Sixers got eliminated from the playoffs and a kind of a letdown performance, let's say, by Ben Simmons. The Ben Simmons rumors have been flying. A report came out the other day that the Timberwolves are in the mix. I know I've heard Portland being kind of floated as a destination, possibly, although Portland's got their own problems with the coaching hire, with Chauncey Billups past and everything. So there's a lot of, I feel like this is going to be a summer with a lot of upheaval. And all it takes is one guy like Dame to say, I'm ready to go.
Yeah,
I'm ready to get out of here, and that's it. And it can start a domino effect. And so it got me thinking, and I've said this before, Laro, but there's going to be some big trades. I think there's going to be some big movement. There's a lot of teams with cap space, but not a lot of great free agents. So I think there's going to be significant trade activity this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is, the Bulls, who don't have a lot of cap flexibility right now and are probably going to be an over the cap team, really need to take advantage by getting in the periphery of these deals as a third team facilitator, because someone's going to do a big trade, but they've got $10 million they can't move, and so we'll say, hey, we'll trade you for Aminu, or we'll get involved some way, we'll pick up a pick, we'll ship out a pick, like whatever we need to do to get some different talent in here. So I know with Ben Simmons, I think that would be a difficult one for us to get involved directly. I said it on Twitter, and it was, I don't know. I say really what feels like normal things on Twitter, and then they blow up for some reason. Every once in a while, like they'll blow up, and I'm like, why did that blow up or something else? But there's been a couple tweets I've had that have been well received as far as players we want to go after. So Ben Simmons next to LaVine and Vooch would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
But it's difficult to see a trade scenario where we just deal directly with the Sixers and get Ben Simmons back, because they're looking for, unless it involves Zach LaVine, and it's been floated. And one of the tweets, it's like probably the most exposure I ever had on the tweet was basically saying, it doesn't make any sense for the Bulls to get involved. in a Zach LaVine for Ben Simmons swap.
Yeah.
Right. Because I know it makes sense for the Sixers because Zach would be a really, really excellent fit alongside their defenders as, you know, a primary perimeter threat that can pass, that can shoot, that can get to the rim. I mean, Zach would be a phenomenal fit on Philly. But if we're trading Zach LaVine for Ben Simmons, the fit doesn't work as well on this roster. It doesn't work as well on this roster. Now, Kobe can do a lot of what Zach can do at a much, much lower level right now, right? He's still young. He's still developing. But if we ship out Zach, our offense is like Vooch and Kobe, who's currently injured. So that it just didn't make a lot of sense to me. But if you could get Zach LaVine next to Ben Simmons and Vooch, I think Ben Simmons would be in a role to really, really thrive in that situation where he doesn't have to be the offensive focus, but he can do all the little things he's so, so good at, so elite at, to make that team run. He could be the glue, you know, to make that team run. What do you think about that? And do you think we can get involved in a Ben Simmons deal directly, or do you think it's more likely we're going to be the third team in a deal?
First of all, before we go realistic, I would absolutely love everything about Ben Simmons on a team with Zach LaVine and Vooch. I mean, we're talking great success. We're talking crap on Twitter to other teams, like, you know, trash talking. But anyway, it would definitely, I don't think we'd be able to get into a deal just straight up without giving up Zach. So there's no way we could do that. I mean, obviously there's a way, unless AK is just like, you know what, we want Ben Simmons, we value Ben Simmons over Zach, then, you know, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't feel that way. We would have to be a part of a bigger deal, no doubt about it. And he probably wouldn't be coming to us. So that's just how I feel about it. I mean, Ben, I understand like the criticisms of Ben. I really do. But what the dude does is winning basketball. What he does do, what he does bring is winning attributes to your team. I mean, you got an elite playmaker, elite defender, really good rebounder. Like, I mean, I can't say enough about Ben. I mean, you know me, I'm a Ben guy. So, I mean, see, this is the thing, man. It's all about
Ed Sheeran's taking a flamethrower to your take right now.
It's all about fit, man. And I think people need to remember that it's all about fit. If you're not in the right situation, you're not gonna look good. You're not gonna come off, you know, better than what you guys, some of these guys feel. But like, if Ben Simmons was in a situation where he was not asked to, you know, score, like, just because Ben Simmons is 6'10". And a specimen doesn't mean the dude needs to, like, he just automatically needs to score 25 a game like that. Like, basketball is, you know, people have different skill sets, no matter your size, you know, like the whole Chet Holmgren thing, like, oh, he's too slight to be a five. Like, I don't agree. Like, I feel like it depends on scheme. Like, nobody guards Joel Embiid one-on-one and stops him. So like, what does it matter? It's all about scheme. Are you going to do drop? Are you going to be, you know, you're going to hedge? Like, it's all about scheme. It's all about fit. So, like, Ben Simmons, he gets a lot of hate. I get it. It's recency bias. But, like, the dude can ball. And if you can't admit that, then I mean, if you put Ben Simmons on this team as a point of attack defender, like, are you serious? Like, come on. Like, I'm not even going to go there. But
I mean, he's defensive player of the year candidate. Every year,
he's not even is he 25 yet?
I think he might be 25 now.
Like, dude,
maybe.
I mean, come on, man. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
The look now.
Like,
he's still 24.
24
until,
years
until
old.
10 more days.
3-time All-Star, steals leader, elite defender.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know people want him to put the ball in the bucket like this. They just want a nice shot. I know. I get it. Like, I understand. And they need him to take shots in the fourth quarter. He didn't do that the whole series.
I will say the one criticism that I have for him is free throw shooting, because I feel like if he gets if his free throw shooting, if he becomes more confident in his free throw shooting, even if he doesn't take jump shots, like if you look at guys like Zion, right? Zion, yeah, he shoots threes, but it's not a high percentage. But like the way he, and Giannis as well, the way they attack space that you give them, he can do the exact same thing. If he was confident in free throws, if a guy's going to give him space, he could use that space to create, you know, someone's momentum. Who's going to take a charge on Ben Simmons? So it's like, if he was more confident, I believe there'd be a lot more aggression out of him in terms of attacking the basket and being okay with getting to the free throw line and getting fouled. But I mean, obviously the guy is just afraid. 35. Okay. But like, no, I mean, I was talking to Coach Cobb about this, and man, when we have him on, I think you should bring this up because he has a lot to say about it. But yeah, man, I mean, different guys have different skill sets. I understand he's getting paid money, but he has a different skill set. And if people can't get over that, then, I mean, I understand that. But that's just how it is.
Yeah, but I get the criticism, and he does need to continue to develop. Now, he isn't good at it now, but – he seems to have a reluctance of trying to improve those skill sets, right? People want him to take shots and he just refuses to. That's the problem I have with it. It's not that he can't yet. It's that he doesn't seem willing to. Now, it does seem like this summer he's going to have a different mindset about it. He skipped the Australia Olympics for, you know, he skipped the Olympics, the opportunity to be on his Olympic team in Australia in order to work on his game. So, we'll see. I mean, that's the right attitude to have, right? You don't want a guy who doesn't want to improve or doesn't want to expand upon his game, because we know he's elite at what he does well. But
yeah, but know, I think it's false to not you, but people that say he hasn't improved at all any of his game, because he wasn't the defender he is now when he first came in the league.
Sure.
He's improved in areas that you may not like he hasn't improved in, but he has improved as a player. And I think it's false if you say that, because I mean, I mean, he has improved as a player, and just in areas that you may not care about, I guess. But yeah, I mean, he's young still, you know, there's time, I understand, but that's just how I feel about him. You give me him any time of the day. I don't care what anybody says. I'll take him on my team.
Larry, your hat's confusing our viewers. They're wanting Bears news. Are the Bears extending A-Rob? Now you got the hat on, you got to say something now.
I don't know, man. I mean, it doesn't seem like A-Rob is optimistic. So, I mean, he's kind of like, he doesn't seem down about it. He doesn't seem excited about it. He's kind of like even keel. So I don't know how to feel about it. I hope so. I mean, I hope so. We'll see.
All right. So if Ben Simmons isn't here, I know we were talking beforehand. You said you had a trade for me. That involving Ben Simmons, because I think now the Sixers can say whatever they want, but I think the ship has sailed. I think Ben is probably going to be on the move this summer somewhere else, and his value is in question. We did get word that the Pacers tried to trade Malcolm Brogdon and a first round pick for Ben Simmons, or that was the offer on the table, and the Pacers turned it down. I think was how it was worded. So I want to hear your trade. I want to hear your trade ideas. So we're going to go over some trade ideas tonight over not only Ben Simmons. We'll keep that one brief because I really don't think it's that realistic for us. But I've got a list of names on like 10 different teams that I think are kind of sleepers that may be moved or may be available for the Bulls and could fill a valuable role on the Bulls this next season. So let's hear Ben Simmons trade first.
So, before everybody starts calling me a Ben Simmons apologist, he's not going to be coming to the Bulls. Just letting you guys know that right now. But this trade involves the 76ers, the Blazers, Golden State, Oklahoma City, and obviously the Bulls, right?
So, there's a 5-team trade?
Yeah.
my body is ready. I'm ready
for this. So, obviously, the Bulls, so 76ers would be giving up Ben Simmons. And they'd be getting CJ McCollum, right? And the Blazers would be giving up CJ McCollum, Rocco, Anthony Simons, Derrick Jones Jr., but they'd be getting Ben Simmons, Lauri Markkanen, Eric Pascal, Kevon Looney. Golden State, who's in this as well, would be giving up Wiseman, obviously Looney, obviously Pascal, and they'd be giving up Jordan Poole. Getting Thad Young, Rocco, the number 18 pick from OKC.
Okay.
OKC would be giving up Kemba Walker and the number 18 pick, but they'd be getting.
Oh, no.
They'd be getting Wiseman, Poole, Michael Mulder, Damian Lee, number 14 pick from Golden State Warriors. And we would be getting Kemba, DJJ, and Anthony Simons. Giving up Thad and Lowry. This is what I think, right? So it would be Kemba starting at the one, Zach starting at the two, obviously. Pat starting. This is where I would have to think about it more. Do I want to, because what I mean by that is, do I want to resign Tice or do I want to go and get a four? Or, okay, so we'll do it this way. Pat at the four, we'll go get Reggie Bullock, play him at the three. Off the bench, it'll be Anthony Simons, Kobe, TBJ, Marco, Garrett Temple. And probably if we can get, I would love to sign Tice to like a nice one-year deal where he comes off the books next year.
I'm trying to keep this all straight in my head, but apparently you really hate point of attack defense if you're trading for Kemba Walker.
Well, here's the deal.
Yeah, let's hear it.
The deal. This is all obviously this is for fun, but this is me thinking like, okay, like we've talked about this already, like a lot in our chats and stuff. Like, what is a realistic thing that they can do to improve the point of attack defense, and the timeline has been changed. Zach LaVine, like he has one more year in his deal. What can we do to persuade him to be here? If we don't make the playoffs, will he want to stay here? There's just so many things that to me is riding on this offseason, and what can they do to become competitive? So I kind of weighed my options and I said, well, honestly, I don't know what they can do. Obviously AK is, somebody that I think I can trust in terms of being aggressive and making things happen. So there's that, but this is more about like winning now basically. And yeah, the point of attack defense will be weak. But if you have Pat and you have a Reggie Bullock or insert any defensive, we would be picking up Derrick Jones Jr. I mean, Derrick Jones Jr. as well. So you got guys there, some wing depth. And I would also draft Aaron Henry, who I'm going to be breaking down next week and probably going to write something about him. And that's another guy as a wing. So you'll have your point of attack defense in terms of wings and stuff like that. We would just have to eat up the Kemba problem, but the offense wouldn't be a problem at all. So, and then you got Simons coming off the bench, Kobe coming off the bench. So you got your firepower there. You got Simons who shot 42% from three. You got spacing. You got, I think it's a team that can do some damage in the playoffs.
Definitely do some damage to my psyche.
Well, you just,
I'm
this
just
is the thing.
You I'm just messing with you,
Pat.
Man.
You can't stand Pat, you know, like, I've told you this before. Like, I really would like to see the team come back, and obviously add things here and there to it. But the you know, the Tice, GT, Thad, Sato, I would like those guys to come back, so we can see this team with like a Reggie Bullock or a Torrey Craig, somebody to add to it, and obviously the draft, the second round pick. Marco, yep. Let's just see what that looks like, because yeah, they only won 31 games, but as a Bulls fan, but that's an improvement, and it happened to be a bad season in terms of COVID and things like that. So, I mean, I'm just trying to pull out good things in terms of this past season, but I think they would be better with a full season and practices. So
no, you're definitely right. I mean, I agree with you. The season was a challenge for a number of reasons. And you're also right that we have to get creative in trades. We have to look for pieces that are sleepers, right? We have to look for pieces that aren't necessarily the big names, right? Because we've talked about Lonzo Ball. It would be amazing to get Kyle Lowry or Mike Conley in here. If Kawhi decides to decline his option, sure, you know, wait, roll out the red carpet for Kawhi. It's not going to happen, but it'd be fun to talk about.
Roll out the man. Kawhi leaves.
That would be chaos, and I would love it because I love chaos. But and we're not going to get Ben Simmons. We're not going to get Dame Lillard. It's just not going to happen, no. Right? We have to be creative though. So, I mean, I like it. I like the creativity, and it makes sense for a few sides, right? Wiseman makes a lot of sense for OKC to develop. He gets time in a low-key environment. Golden State's trying to – I think Golden State's making a big mistake by not trying to trade all their talent right now and get assets and restart the clock. But I get it. It's hard to do that as long as Steph Curry is Steph Curry.
Right.
And if Klay Thompson can be some approximation of what he was before – coming off these two injuries, it'd be brutal injuries, but I get why they're doing it. I just think the ship has sailed and the championship.
According to Clay, it is not.
He can say whatever he wants, you know, I also thought the KD wouldn't be coming back looking like KD and I was wrong. So you never know. I understand why they're doing it, but I think that's a team that by the trade deadline this season may have the writing on the wall one way or the other about it. But for now, I think they're going to be looking for those vets, and Thad would be a really, really solid vet for them. Who's the other guy going there?
For which team?
For the Warriors.
The Warriors. Let me pull out my handy dandy. They would be getting Thad Young, Roko, and the number 18 pick.
Yeah, Roko would help. And they can get, you know, a ready-made prospect from 18, or they could trade 18 for something else, I think. Mm-hmm. So that would be good. Kemba, I think Kemba will be better this year than he was this last year. I think there's no question about it. The fact that he got traded to OKC almost guarantees it, because OKC has become the place where players go to rehab their trade value, and then OKC takes picks on the way in and on the way out. But I still think the point of attack defense worries me. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure how Kemba's going to fit on this roster. I worry about the contract. I know we're on a timeline, but I don't want to take on a contract that's $35, $36, you know, million dollars for multiple years, especially when we got Zach's either max extension or max offer next offseason. Coming up. So that's tough, but the creativity is what I do like. So I'll give you that. I'll give you the creativity.
I will say, I did this for fun just because, you know, whatever.
Sure.
But I wouldn't like it as well because of what I think Pat can be next. Mm-hmm. Well, not only next season, but you know, years to come, is I think that, but see, what I was hung up on in terms of Pat, in terms of like everybody saying he's a four, is like what he is on offense. Like I thought people like were giving up on him in terms of offensively, like, okay, just stick him in a corner and let him play the four.
No, but he's got the whole bag. He's going to be so good. He's going to be so good.
I think they should raise the percentage of pick and rolls he's in terms of as being a ball handler.
Yes.
I think he can do that. And if you have Kemba on the team, that I don't think that you could really do that, because I think Kemba thrives in pick and rolls. So yep.
He's always been that way.
Yeah. So I think I would hope that they do that next season, because I think Pat can really be really good out of pick and roll as the ball handler and screener. So yeah.
I have this vision, Laro, of getting multiple ball handlers on this team that are competent. Zach has made himself into a competent ball handler. Kobe's making strides. Lonzo Ball would be great. Pat has the tools. Troy Brown Jr. has the tools to be, you know, he showed that before. So I think we've got some people there. And then there's some trade targets here that I'm looking at that I think can really, really help us. And I'm not sure if Laro just disappeared because he lost his connection. There he is. He's back. It's like, that's cool. You got to say your piece, and now you're gonna peace out, and I'm gonna try to get my trade. I see how it is. So news came out within the last 24 hours. I would say, I can't remember exactly, but Zach Harper, who works for The Athletic, talked about the upcoming draft and some people that could be in the works or be available. And two of the names that were mentioned were DeJounte Murray and Derek White on the Spurs. And let me tell you, as soon as I saw the words DeJounte Murray and available, I was like, yes, get this man on the Bulls. He is a ball hawk defensively. He would really, 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 really do well at the point of attack defense. He's good friends with Zach LaVine.
Mm.
He's got size. He's got length. He's really, really fun. He can get to the rim. His shot chart is like the entire mid-range. Everything in front of the three-point line is where he's at. He's good at, as I said, a ball hawk. He has great steal numbers, great defensive numbers, and he's on a reasonable contract for the next few years. He's making like, I can't remember, it's like 12, 13 million. Let me see. I have to bring it back up again, but it might be 14. Sorry. Technical difficulties here. He's making 15.4. He's under contract for a few more years. This man is so good. Yeah. Defensively. Yeah. Now, offensively, he's still got some work to do. He's not super efficient, doesn't have a high effective field goal percentage, but he's very, very smart player. He plays the point for San Antonio, which was in the playoff mix all year long. He's only 25 years old. He would be a great piece to have. If he's available, I would love to have him. Edward Sheeran, my dream scenario, you said DeJounte or Lonzo, both. Get both of them on my team. Have DeJounte at the one, Zach at the two, Lonzo Ball at the three, Pat at the four, Vooch at the five. You've got four potential ball handlers. All five of those guys can create their own offense and get the offense initiated. That would be a dream scenario. You've got a great mix of shooting, defense, playmaking. I would love it. So I agree, though. I think Edward's right. DeJounte Murray is a more reasonable target for the Bulls.
Yeah.
Someone who is not the big name person. It's not going to command a ton of money like Lonzo, right? He's on a good deal on a team that has a lot of nice contracts and a lot of cap space. So I think if they went after a guy like Kyle Lowry, right, and got him, or they go after a big point guard, he may become available, because Derek White also is on the team, and there may be some redundancy there if they bring in, you know, a bigger free agent. So that was one of the things I thought of. I would love DeJounte Murray, but what are your thoughts on DeJounte Murray, first of all, and what you think he could bring to the team, and if you think, you know, is someone that we should go after?
DeJounte is someone that I really, really like. He's definitely opposite of Kemba defensively. Obviously, Kemba's a better offensive player. But with this team that was still a pretty good offensive team last year, even without like a legit PG, I think defense is the thing that you want to kind of bring in here. And DeJounte brings that. He's a heck of a point of attack defender. And Santiago actually asked that question in terms of like, what is a point of attack defender, basically? And
it's, that was actually a really great question by Santiago. And I think that's a great idea for us to do at another point in the show, which is to kind of talk about what a point of attack defender does, what their mm-hmm. responsibility is, and why they're important to the team. Anyways, continue. But I thought that was a really excellent question. So thanks, Santiago.
And honestly, man, that's what he does, man. He he just badgers, you know, the ball handler, pick and rolls. He's not somebody that gets hung up on screens. He's really good with his footwork and getting around screens and standing in front of the ball handler and not letting it be so easy for teams to get into their offensive sets. He would be great. He'd be great. I mean, and like you said, him and Zach are like boys, you know, so why not? So I love this answer, man.
So one of the reasons why I think it could make sense for the Bulls to get involved is because the Spurs have been rumored to be interested in Lauri Markkanen and making him an offer. So the initial downside to that, and the reason it wouldn't happen is because what Lauri is expected to command in free agency, the Spurs have cap space to pay that if they wanted to. So they don't have to do any sort of sign and trade deal with us in order to get Lauri. Now, we'd have to match whatever offer in order to prevent them from doing that, basically. So if they offered, you know, $25 million a year and the Bulls match it, they don't, you know, then it goes back to the Bulls for $25 million a year. But I don't think the Bulls are going to do that. And I don't think he's going to get offered 25. I think he'll probably get offered somewhere in the teens per year for 3 or 4 years. You know, if it's over 15 million, I think don't match.
I'm right with you.
But I think Lowry's ship has sailed on this team. I just don't think with Pat at the four and what he brings to the table and Vooch, which is basically a fully optimized version of what we thought Lowry could be one day, I see too much redundancy for the price that he's going to command. It's nothing against Lowry. I think Lowry's a valuable piece. I think he's a productive player. He's going to be a good player for a long time. He's got plenty to improve on, but he is good enough already to be a rotation player on a quality team, I think. But at that price and with what we need on our team, I think he's an easier piece to let go in a sign and trade deal or just to let go as a restricted free agent. So, but as I mentioned, they've got a lot of cap space. If they don't want to spend cap space on Lowry, they could replace Lowry's DeJounte's salary with Lowry's, right? Because DeJounte's making 15, 16 million or so. Mm-hmm. If they wanted to sign Lowry for somewhere in that realm, we could send out Lowry in a sign and trade for DeJounte Murray. I think there'd have to be additional pieces coming the Spurs' way. I think they may want someone like Kobe White to match salaries. And the reason you have to match salaries in the sense that it's this archaic rule called the base year compensation rule. And basically the outgoing value in a sign and trade is only half of what the actual contract is. So for example, if his contract was $16 million a year, his trade value, the amount of money going out would only be $8 million, only half of it. And so because only $8 million is going out and DeJounte's $15 million coming back in, you have to get closer. You have to get within a certain percentage of that 15. So Kobe's making like $5.5-6 million next year. So that would help bridge that gap. Troy Brown Jr.'s contract is very similar. So they may want to replace DeJounte, who's more expensive, with, maybe they'd want someone like Kobe in a trade like that. So this is difficult because for me, I kind of think as Lowry as not really part of that trade. Like, we do it to grease the wheels of the trade, but they can get Lowry without it. Like, so they're basically giving up DeJounte Murray for nothing if we just try to trade Lowry to them. I think we're going to have to add a second round pick or maybe a late, like a very highly protected first or a young prospect like Kobe in order to get that done. But I think it could be worth it. I think it could be worth it if you can get it done for Lowry and a second, or Lowry and Kobe. I love Kobe. You know, we've talked about Kobe a lot, and I really have high hopes for him. But the timeline that we need to compete on, I think DeJounte Murray could make more sense in that role over Kobe right now. Even though Kobe may end up being the better player in the next few years. I don't know. I mean, it's always a gamble, but that's kind of the framework I was thinking about a DeJounte Murray deal. I don't know. If Spurs writer might be like, this is a crazy deal. There's no way you're going to have DeJounte Murray for this. I've seen it both ways that we've kind of floated this out on Twitter and I've seen it, but we've seen some people say, oh, I'd do that in a heartbeat. Other people say, no, you're going to have to add this or that to it. So I think we're somewhere in there.
I think also too, I saw a comment. I think it was Edward Sheeran. I think he, and he said that, you know, you worry about his shooting, but like, I think it, first of all, we've talked about this before on this show about the drop coverage. And yep. I think the playoffs are showing you like how valuable the drop coverage is. Like all the teams, the last four teams that were in the finals, in the semis, all like depended on drop. Yep. And you see that it can be done if you have that point of attack defender. And that's one thing. But also too, on the offensive end, you're also seeing how hard it is to create 3-point opportunities and to get into the lane, to get to the bucket and get layups. So I think you're starting to see how big like mid-range game is. It's starting to be like reinforced. You're like, okay, yeah, like all yeah. you guys are talking about, you know, why does, you know, analytics say you can't take mid-ranges and da-da-da-da-da-da. It's not that. I just think that in the regular season, like, yo, let's get the best shot. You know, let's get some threes up. But I think in the playoffs, when teams can really, you know, plan for you, like it becomes harder to get those 3-point shots and to get to the basket. So like you said before, like if you look at DeJounte's shot chart, like the mid range, everything in the, you know, around there is, you know, really good. So, I mean, that he would be nice to have in the playoffs with a nice in between game too. You got to think about that as well. So.
Yeah. Another benefit of doing a sign and trade like that, if we're able to operate as an over the cap team, we don't have to go out and overpay a free agent and ship out half our roster basically in order to do that. In order to open up cap space to get $20 million player, we're going to have to renounce Tice, Lowry,
yeah.
Arch, Denzel, Felicio. Some of them, you know, obviously they're going to do anyway, but like Garrett Temple is going to have to go. One of Sato or Thad is going to have to go. And if we might have to trade them into cap space or for some minor contract back, it's really difficult to do that. So if you can get a contract going out like Lowry mm-hmm. and some minor salary like TBJ or Kobe or even like a second round pick or something or late protect first, now you can bring back guys like Tice, like Garrett Temple, like even Javonte Green on the cheap. You can retain their rights and work as an over the cap team, and the benefit of that is you get to use the mid-level exception, which is worth $9.5 million. And so you could bring in a guy like DeJounte, still have $9.5 million to go out and get someone like a Reggie Bullock, right? Yeah. for that price, or, you know, so there's a lot of, we talked about this on another show, but there's a bunch of wing names out this year that could be kind of had at that price. Or, you know, so that I think is the way we're going to have to go. Right now, our trade assets are basically, we have Satoransky, Aminu, which I don't think is a trade asset, but his contract is a really great amount to be salary filler in the deal. Mm-hmm. That $10 million is really a nice number for that. And he's not so washed that people are going to think of him as like a negative asset like they might Kemba or someone else like that. So he's actually an asset, I think, in that way. Thad is obviously coming off a great season. I don't think they're going to move him unless it's really for something good, because yeah. Zach really loves him and he's really integral to our team. And then we've got guys like Kobe and TBJ, who, you know, a young talent that's still on a rookie deal. I don't think either of them have really high trade value right now, especially with Kobe being injured.
Yeah.
But still, you know. And then our first round pick, we really don't have any until 2025, I think it is, based on the stepping rule. You can only trade out every other year's first round pick. You can do swaps on the alternating years. You can swap picks, but you can't lose them. They won't let you ship out like 5 years of picks in a row anymore, because some guy named Stepien did that, and he's an idiot. So they protect you from your own foolishness. So we'd have to send out a 2025 pick or seconds. You can send out as many seconds as you want. We've got all our own seconds, and I think an additional second next year, I want to say. But that's the assets we have. It's not a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
it's really not, because we shipped out most of it to get Vooch, which was a great, you know, I know that people are up and down the trade, But as far as the value, I think it's pretty good value.
Yeah,
Santiago, I wish we could transcribe it. You want to do the work?
So what you just said, I think, is something that needs to be put into a lot of Bulls fans' head is, yes, like you said, you said it. It is AK's job to figure something out, you know, yeah. And it is tough, man. He's in a tough position. Like, he's in a tough position.
He put himself there.
Yeah, he did. But I just feel like, man, maybe. But here's the thing, right? Let's say we don't trade Wendell, right? We end up getting a top pick. Who knows? Let's say it's in the top four. Will Zach want to wait for another rookie to come along? I just wonder, like, if we did go that route and we didn't go get Vooch and we left Wendell here and we ended up losing more games and we got a top pick. And let's say we get, you know, I don't know. I'll just say we get the fourth pick. Let's say we get Scotty Barnes or Jalen Suggs or something like that. Do you think Zach would want to wait on another rookie and sign here again? I just don't know how, you know, those two things would end up going.
Yeah, I think at some point, what I always expected and what ended up happening was that at some point we would use those assets to trade for a second star to bring in here. Mm. The hope was that the Jimmy Butler trade would net us one or two all-star to all NBA level talents. It didn't appear to be doing so until this last year and a half or so when Zach decided to take those reins. And mm-hmm. It's amazing we've got Zach and he's still 26, right? But I think you're right, Lero, that if we hadn't done the Vooch trade, every Bulls fan would be like, when's Beal going to be available? What can we get for Dame? You know, like we'd be doing that same thing for another free agent. I think the price for Vooch was fine. I said it at the time, even though I really believe in Wendell Carter and his ability to be a quality rotation player for a long time. I still think he will. But you trade him and two first-round picks who, you know, one end up being pick 8, which is fine. The other one hopefully will be out of the lottery in 2 years, right, if we're doing things right. But, yeah, I think we would have been doing the same thing anyway. So mm-hmm. I don't hate the Vooch trade. I think I wouldn't have done it probably because mm-hmm. maybe a guy like Dame gets out. And I think the timeline is tough. But I think they had to make a move like this in the near future with it before Zach's extension and or free agency comes up next year. Yeah. So, you know, that I think that's just the reality. But Salim, the real G's move in silence like lasagna. Well, little Wayne line.
How about let's say maybe AK was thinking, okay, you get Vooch, right? You get Vooch, his contract every year it decreases in terms of the money. Yeah. And then you got Zach, right? You can max him if you want, and fine. But let's say he's thinking, okay, this next season, let's make the playoffs. We know we're not gonna win a championship, but let's show some progression. And then that next summer, when more cap space is open, then he gets a little bit more aggressive. But now he has Vooch and now he has Zach, and he can go get that third star. You know what I mean? Third all-star. Maybe he was thinking further down the line. I don't know. I'm just bringing things up. I don't know. Maybe.
I think that's true. And I think that's one of the reasons why when we had Stefan Noh on a few weeks ago, his plan was like the 2022 plan. Keep that cap space open. Yep. So one of the things that we talked about and what I wanted to kind of reiterate today, and someone's just doing fireworks at my house, of course, outside my house, every day of the year. Seriously, every day of the year. But is trading for a guy like Ricky Rubio, who's on a one-year deal, that can bring in, that can help do what they did with the Suns, right? Kind of get them to a respectable level and then replace them, have that cap space open. Because I don't think people understand, Zach's not going to be on the books at the end of next year, and Vooch's money will be lower. I think another $2 million lower than it is this year. Mm-hmm. And so we could have significant cap space to go spend that cap space and then re-sign Zach LaVine to a max deal, even without hurting our ability to go out and get another star player. So
exactly.
Definitely possible. And I think it could be a good avenue. So, you know, the Wolves are another team. They were like the second team I thought of in trade scenarios. The Spurs are the first. When that news came out, I was like, Spurs have a lot of tradable guys. I think Derek White would even be like a great person to have as well.
Yeah.
I would like DeJounte Murray a little bit more. He's younger. He's, you know, anyways, but Ricky Rubio is a great defensive point guard. He's really good at getting the offense set up. Jarrett Culver is a guy I think you could kind of get thrown in a deal like that.
Yeah.
He's young. He's got obviously a lot to show still, but he had a lot of promise coming out of college. And I actually was really bummed when the Wolves traded up and picked him right before our pick came up. I was really mm-hmm. bummed because I wanted Jarrett Culver. Obviously, oh, wow. I think Kobe's been a much better pick than him so far.
So but far, yeah.
Another team that I was thinking of is the Hornets. So the Hornets were two wins above us this year. But Terry Rozier has 1 year left on his deal.
Mm.
He's making $17.9 million a year. And with the emergence of LaMelo Ball and the additional playmaking of Gordon Hayward, and you've got Devontae Graham's restricted free agency coming up this summer as well, I think that there may be a little bit of a squeeze there. And the thing I'm thinking of is Daniel Theis is a starting quality center in this league. Yeah. He's shown it with the Celtics, and the Hornets desperately, desperately need a defensive five, a starting caliber center. So there's a sign and trade possibility that I think we could keep in mind to somehow get Rozier on the books here and have Daniel Theis do a sign and trade with Daniel Theis and get Rozier back. And Rozier would fit in that 2022 plan where he'd come in, stabilize that guard rotation a little bit for us and be able to, you know, write out that contract and then try and find an upgrade from him the year after that. So he's another kind of in that Ricky Rubio mindset of finding a guy that's, that's on the last year of his deal and is an upgrade from what we currently have, or could help supplement our rotation with Kobe and Zach at the point guard spot. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about Terry Rozier? Do you think he'd fit the bill in that sense? And I was not a Rozier fan at all. He's really impressed me this year. He did a lot better this year.
Scary.
But when he signed that contract with the Hornets, I was like, that's not a good contract. Not at all. But you know, he's made the most out of it. It's turned into, I think this year, a decent contract, which I never thought I'd say.
I think he would also be a good pickup for the Bulls. And like you said, everything you said, man, I think he really took off this past season and really, because, you know, you got a guy like LaMelo, it took them a little while to really get LaMelo those minutes because, I mean, Terry was playing really good basketball, and it's hard to ask a vet to just play a good ball like that to sit behind a rookie. And eventually LaMelo took over. But I think, Terry is a player that could come in here and add some value and you know, score the ball, defend a little bit, and be in a situation where he has two scorers around him like Vooch and Zach and be able to just kind of fit right in and play his role. So, no, I definitely like Rozier.
Well, I think that's definitely something that AK should consider. I think Rozier would be an upgrade to our point guard rotation right now. And especially with Kobe being out early, he might be out for the beginning of the season. So yeah, it's Salim Santiago, as you guys said, fit and situation matter a lot.
Yeah.
The type of people you're with, the type of coach, the type of offense you're running. We saw what a difference it made Thad running Jim Boylan's offense versus Billy Donovan's offense. Thad didn't turn into Superman overnight.
No.
But Billy Donovan maximized his offensive talents and made him into, you know, like a sixth man of the year candidate after he's on, you know, starting. He ended up starting for us, unfortunately. as unfortunately for his sixth man of the year candidacy, not unfortunately for the team.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, you know, I think that would be another great pickup in Terry Rozier. Another guy I was thinking of on the Kings are always in flux. They're always underachieving. There's always some chaos. They're always kangsing something up. And so if you can swoop in on the Kings and find someone that's not quite the right fit, or they're just, you know, moving around. And the guy I was thinking of is DeLon Wright. I like DeLon Wright a lot. I've liked him since he got out of college. I wanted the Bulls to draft him. He ended up getting drafted by the Raptors one spot before we picked up Bobby Portis. I was really bummed. I really wanted DeLon Wright. And I still would have rather had – I love Bobby Portis, but Bobby Portis was not the same quality player, I think. But we'll see, you know. But DeLon Wright really is a fun player. He's this herky jerk. He's got this like herky jerky kind of pick and roll game. He's really fun to watch. He has really, really improved as a point of attack defender, and he's improved as an outside shooter. I think he shot 39 or 40% this year from three, and he gets to the rim a lot. And anyways, he would just be another nice point guard, kind of stopgap point guard. He's on the last year of his deal. He's only making $8.5 million this year. And he would be kind of another guy that would fit into the 2022 plan. That would be an upgrade defensively for us and provide another playmaker at a cheap price. And I think he would be very, very gettable for that price. And the Kings, you know, they've got so much going on and their cap space is all over the place. They're also looking to get rid of Marvin Bagley. He could be a target for us, depending on what happens with Tice and Thad and Marco. We may have a need in the front court for someone who also needs a change of pace, a change of scenery. But I think DeLon Wright is another guy that I would target. I would see if, you know, he would be kind of, you know, like plan C maybe in that lineup. Mm-hmm. But definitely a guy who could help us and is on a cheap 1 year deal.
Yeah. I think if you go back and you really watch last season and really, I mean, Jimmy was able to do it, but being able to like break a defense down and really get into the teeth and get paint touches and create, because there's times where, yeah, you're going to run your sets, your Chicago action, all these different things that you guys like to do, like the team likes to do, delay, pick and pop, pick and roll, all this other stuff. But there's times where a defense just has a beat on you and you've got to have a guy that can just get into the paint whenever he can and create rotations, create defense having to react and find different situations, maybe driving kicks and getting the ball to Zach. Oh, like imagine Zach off ball and you have a point guard that can break the defense down, get Zach the ball in a situation where he can choose if he wants to attack the closeout or have a nice open shot. Like Zach hasn't had that too many times. So, DeLon being able to get into the paint would be huge. Like getting, we need more players that can really get off, you know, like Zach obviously can do it, but like you need more than that. You need a guy that can do that to create for Zach, help Zach, you know, and we don't have too many guys like that. So
something I wanted to touch on actually kind of in that vein and talking about point of attack defense. So DeLon Wright, I'm going to cleaning the glass, but I looked it up earlier today. His shot frequency over his career is basically he shoots like 50% of his shots come at the rim or within 4 feet of the rim. So he's really good at getting the defense into rotation.
Yep.
All right. By getting right to the rim. And so this leads into our point of attack discussion. And we can go into this another week where we really want to kind of dig in, but the main purpose of a point of attack defender, and correct me if I'm wrong, is to try and prevent the defense from getting into motion in the first place, right? Yeah. The reason that you run a pick and roll is to create a mismatch, to create an advantage for you offensively.
Yeah.
And when you do that, now the offense is at an advantage. And what a point of attack defender can do, especially in drop, is minimize the time in which the offense is at an advantage, right? Yeah. So we saw so many times with Kobe and Zach this year with Wendell, where one of them would get put into a pick and roll and they wouldn't be trailing fast enough. They wouldn't be locking trailing with their guy. They wouldn't catch up on the play. And so you had several seconds go by where their ball handler and their big who was rolling were both on their way to the basket unimpeded. And it created a really difficult situation for either Daniel Gafford or Wendell Carter, or even Thad when he was playing center. They're at a disadvantage because it's a 2-on-1 and they're both rolling towards the rim.
Yeah.
And so then you start dragging in the help defenders from the weak and the strong side that have to come in and try and make up for that. And then you got corner three guys that are open. Like it creates chaos. And that's the whole point of the pick and roll,
yeah,
is to create an advantage. And so the point of attack defender's main role is to minimize or blow up that advantage in the first place. And you see it with guys that are really, really good at navigating screens, or they know what play is coming. Like guys like Rondo, who is not a great defender anymore, but he's so smart about it. He can often see the play coming. And so you get guys that are really smart that way in the point of attack defense. They can, instead of having 2 or 3 seconds of a guy rolling to the rim and they're like, hey, it's Trae Young. He's just going to pull up for a nice floater. I mean, we saw it in the playoffs so many times with that drop coverage.
Yeah.
Or Chris Paul, right? He just gets that little right elbow jumper. If you've got a guy like Kyle Lowry or Jimmy Butler or Ben Simmons or Drew Holiday, they're really, really good point of attack defenders that can, even if they get caught in a screen, even if they're a little bit behind on the play, they catch up so quick. They know how to be right on their hip. You know, they remove that advantage so that the offense has to reset. They have to kick it back out and start over again. And that's the more you can get a defense into rotation, the easier it is to find a quality shot. And that's why a point of attack defender is so quality, because the big is almost always at the end of the play in the defense. And so if they've got all that advantage and they're all coming towards the big, there's too much to put on the big shoulders. We saw it with Rudy Gobert in the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. They just played five out. They got their defense in a rotation because Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell aren't great point of attack defenders. They'd get one of them into rotation, and then they'd just find the open man and get a three-pointer all day.
Yeah.
And there's nothing Rudy Gobert could do about it. Sorry, I know I was long-winded, but that's what I think of when I think of a point of attack defender and what their role is.
I mean, and for Santiago, like, for what is it, tomorrow, right? Game 3 of the finals, I believe. Right?
Yeah,
it is. So it just look for that, right? Watch the game. And when they have Brook in the game, most likely they're going to be running drop. And a lot of people, I know the narrative on Twitter about Brook is, oh, you can't play him on the floor because he da da da. When in reality, you can pretty much blame the big if there's just lobs happening left and right because. Okay, put it this way. If Drew Holiday is coming over the screen and he's back, but the big is not getting back and covering the lob, it's kind of hard to explain. But basically, you just have to watch out for the point of attack. So the guy that's in guarding the ball handler, if he gets hung up on a screen or if he gets over the screen, it's just about him getting back in front of the offensive player in order to put everybody back to where they need to be on the defensive side of the ball. So if you got guys like Kobe got better with this over the season, but in the beginning of the year, he would get hung up on screens.
I'd love to.
I know, right?
That'd be so much fun.
He would get
hung I'd love up to on call screens. A game.
And then you got guys like Dame and CJ and Luka, all these different guys that thrive in the paint and thrive on being playmakers, because if you get around that screen and he's not behind you, now you got the big that's to step up and help. And now he can, maybe have a cut from the corner, or maybe the guy from the corner is a tag man and he's coming to help out the big. Now you got the pass to the corner. And if the guy with the wing is coming to help at the corner, now you can swing it to the – there's just so many – you get the defense in rotation, and that makes the offense a lot more easier for guys, And if you can really get a guy that's in front of the ball, like a DeJounte Murray – that can fight over the screen and stay in front. Now teams have to continue to run different actions and try to find ways to get the defense in rotation. And that's why, DeJounte, Lonzo, you know, Ben Simmons, all those guys are what you need, man. You need those guys.
Yeah. And I think it's especially important for a team like the Bulls, where our big Vucevic, he's passable defensively, but he's not super agile. So, you know, sometimes you can minimize that advantage by hedging a little higher with the big, yeah. Right? But if you come too high, you maybe get a lob attempt. If your big isn't really mobile, that's why Bam is so important, because Bam is so mobile that he can play multiple schemes. He can hedge. He can trap. And when you're trapping, you're like getting rid of that advantage that the ball handler has. But you open up the roll man who's going for the dunk. And so if your big isn't fast enough to get back to prevent that, then your guys that are guarding your help defenders. Guarding the corners are going to have to step in. And then Laro, as you said, now the ball handler has to do is either find the big roll in the rim or find a guy in the corner for an open three. And so the drop coverage is really effective. Every coverage has its weakness.
Yeah.
But I think the Bucks and the Suns, they play drop coverage because their bigs are quality. They can play in those situations, and they've got point of attack defenders that can help make up for any lack of speed on the big's end. And so, but you've got a team like the Bulls where Vooch is not agile enough to hard hedge or play aggressive drop or trap, right? You're not going to see him blitzing. Mm-hmm. And so it's all the more important for us to have point of attack defenders be really, really skilled. Because they're the ones that are going to be minimizing that advantage, because the big can't do that. They're not as agile. They're not as able to, to stop the defense from having that advantage. If you want to talk to a really, really smart person, follow Seth Partnow on Twitter.
Yeah.
He talks about defense a lot. There's a bunch of guys like Nekias Duncan, Steve Jones Jr. are really, really good. Mo Dakil, I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name.
I know, yeah, Dakon or something like that.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry, I'm butchering his name, but he's really good. There's a lot of coaches on Twitter as well that put out little videos. Like there's this guy, Coach Laro. He's pretty good. but you listen to guys like that, and they're one of the things that Seth said recently on a podcast was something like, a lot of great defensive possessions are possessions where you don't see a lot of activity on the defensive end, because they're already in the right spots. They're already minimizing those advantages. And so that's when you see guys taking tough ISOs, right? You see Kevin Durant just dribbling in the outside, or Dame pulling up from 35 feet. It's because the defense is doing their job, right? When you see, like we saw the Suns pass like 11 times in a possession.
Yes.
Right. And it was the Bucks constantly trying to make up for the disadvantage that they were at, try and get back into it. They were rotating. And they almost did it. And they even tipped the ball at one point, ended up with an 8-1. But those are the types of things that you watch the Bucks. The Bucks are a great defensive team.
Yeah.
The Suns are a great defensive team. Watch them, watch where their guys are in that drop. And the point of attack defender is going to be moving a lot.
Yeah,
but if the big and the help defenders are doing their jobs, you're going to see less movement. You're going to see, if they know what they're doing, you're going to see less kind of like frenzied movement like that from the offense, because they're not going to have anywhere to pass. There's not going to be an advantage to take advantage of, if that makes sense.
Can I say that possession you just talked about, as a coach, that was lovely. Like, because you got the offense that knows
2014 Spurs.
Oh, the offense knows they have the advantage, and you got the defense rotating like crazy, man.
Crisp. You
know? And yeah, it was just nice.
That's beautiful basketball.
Small market is not going to be a fight. Man, get that out of here. Man, this is good basketball.
Fantastic final so far. Fantastic. And the Bucks are not far off. I really think that Bud made a lot of adjustments in game two. They even trapped Cameron Payne at one point. Cameron Payne, and he found an open Mikal Bridges for three. So it didn't work, but yeah,
dude.
But you guys remember? It reminds me of when we had Chris Dunn as our point of attack defender, Boylan ran a blitzing scheme all the time because Chris Dunn was so good as a point of attack defender, and Wendell Carter was so mobile on the defensive end that he could throw them at anybody. That the problem when you run a blitzing scheme is that if you trap their ball handler and the ball handler gets his way out of it, right, finds the open man, like Zach LaVine, for example, this year, whenever he got trapped a bunch. He had the second highest points per possession off traps, which means he was really, really good at breaking those traps. And the way he did it was he had Thad at the high post that he would get trapped, he'd throw it to Thad, and then Thad would just spray it out for a three or a, you know, someone would cut for a dunk.
Yep.
Beautiful basketball. And what we saw with Boylan's scheme, the problem with it is when you trap, you generate a lot of turnovers, you generate transition offense. But when someone beats the trap, if you've got a ball handler that's really, really good at beating the trap, or you've got a secondary ball handler like a Thad Young, what you're going to see is a lot of corner threes and a lot of dunks.
Yeah.
Because you're putting yourself in a disadvantageous position by doing that. So you always have to apply and modify your schemes to the personnel that you've got. And one defensive scheme isn't going to work all the time, which is why Boylan blitzing all the time isn't going to work. And Donovan only doing drop isn't going to work all the time. You'll see it with the Bucks. That's what killed the Bucks last playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Was only doing drop.
I know you're not big into.
Congratulations to me on these fireworks. Sorry.
I know you're not a big fan of under 19, just mostly because, like, you don't have a lot of time.
I just don't have time.
Yeah.
but panic, nothing to do with it.
If you watched whoever was in the chat, I'm pretty sure somebody watched France today versus Serbia. And what France was doing is a perfect example of what you just talked about with the blitzing scheme. Because when Wimbanyana, I cannot pronounce his name. I'll just say Wimby. When Wimby got the two early fouls, they went to the blitz scheme, and it actually hurt them and allowed Serbia to keep the lead. I mean, to push the lead, because they would beat the trap every single time, the blitz every time, hit the middle of the floor, and they had a cutter. Either Jovic or Skubal would cut, and it was a dunk, open three. And they continued to run it. And I think if they would have not changed from that, they probably would have lost the game. But they eventually went to man-to-man, and it ended up changing the ball game. So that if you did watch France versus Serbia, that's a perfect example. If you go to the beginning, the first quarter when Wimby was in foul trouble, look at exactly what they did defensively. And that is exactly what Chris just talked about. So,
yeah. So I know we're getting a little off topic, but I think it's a good discussion. I think the reason why we're having a discussion about trades and people we want to target is because we see the deficiencies on the Bulls, and especially with after the Vooch trade, the point of attack defense, in my opinion, is far more important now than a primary ball handler. Now, it doesn't mean that primary ball handler is not a priority for us, but if Wendell was still here, thanks, Salto. His fireworks, man. Oh, I hate people sometimes. I'm the old man. I'm the old man. Get off my lawn now. It's like, my kids are sleeping. Please stop doing the fireworks, please.
Same here.
But I don't remember what I was saying. But if we still had Wendell, for example, he, for all of his confidence faults or whatever, and maybe offensive quibbles you can make, the man could defend. He was a good defender. He had solid fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
He got blamed for everything. But the man could run any scheme. You can run any scheme you want, defensive scheme you want, with Wendell Carter as your center. He's fantastic at it. He's not as agile as Bam Adebayo, but he can absolutely run any scheme that you want. He ran the blitzing scheme, which is one of the most aggressive schemes, if not the most aggressive scheme you can run. And was fantastic at it. He really excelled at it. But if we still had him or another guy like Tice, if Tice was signed for the next 3 years, for example, I think your focus would be a point guard or a primary creator, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But with Vooch being there, you really have to have a quality wing at the point of attack and a quality guard at the point of attack. you have to have two quality perimeter defenders next to Zach, next to Vooch, and with Pat helping Vooch, because you really need all those quality defenders to make up for the lack of flexibility that you have with Vooch as a defensive center. You just have a lack of flexibility. I'm not, it's not nothing about his ability to be a good defender, because he can work well in a drop scheme, but you just have to have, you have to maximize his capabilities in a drop scheme. And by, if you just put him out on an island with two guys running at him, you're going to hear Stacey King. Why are these dead? You know, you're going to hear Stacey King complaining and blaming him all year, which is not, Stacey King is 100% wrong about it. Even though I love Stacey King, he's the man. He's absolutely wrong in this point.
Yeah.
But you have to have point of attack defenders.
Yeah.
In order to make Vooch as effective as possible. So that's why I think moving Pat to the four for now and getting a wing with the MLE, finding a trade for a guy like Ricky Rubio or DeJounte Murray or DeLon Wright. And there's a few others I want to talk about too with you. But I think that discussion on the defense and the schemes that we've seen run in the finals is important, an important backdrop and the premise as to why we're talking about these people in trades. They're not the flashy free agents, but they are guys that are on our timeline or are available for the types of assets we have, and they fit the exact needs of the team that we have. That's why Lonzo Ball is such a great fit, not because he's a primary creator, but because he's a great passer and a great wing defender. He's a great point of attack defender, and he's a great help defender too. And he's great in transition. These are all things that our team needs, right? And that he would bring to the table. But so these are the guys that we wanted to talk about. And there's a few more, but I've talked long enough. So I wanted to see what your thoughts were on that before I want to kind of just run through maybe five or six more names, and then we'll head out.
Well, I mean, I agree with everything that you were saying. I mean, the thing is, man, is like, in my opinion, this Bulls team is, they need, the biggest thing, like you said, is point of attack, wing, and wing depth. Because, I mean, that's the way it is now. You know, you got Cade Cunningham's coming. You got Lucas here. We got Jason Tatum's, Jaylen Brown's. You got to be able to defend from that position. There's a lot of wing initiators now, so you need wing depth. But most importantly, you need point of attack. And I understand point guard is definitely a big thing. I mean, there's examples of Mike Conley and Kyle Lowry and Chris Paul, but I think you can get away with it until you find something, as long as you have the defense point of attack and as long as you have a team that's willing to move the ball and find the best shot. And it doesn't hurt having a guy like Zach LaVine and another guy in Vooch. So I agree, though, with everything you said, point of attack. And Lonzo, you know, I think people are starting to warm up to it, but I think people were down on Lonzo because he wasn't like, you know, some prolific scorer, and they didn't really appreciate what he is good at, and that's point of attack and his improved 3-point shot. And he's a perfect, what you need as well are guys that can take advantage of advantage creators, guys that can take advantage of situations that are good for, you know, the offense, right? So if you get a guy like, you know, I don't know, Zach breaking down a defense and you swing it to Lonzo, he's a perfect guy that can take advantage of those situations. You know, like Jay Crowder is, you know, that's something that he does really well, is, you know, if he doesn't have a shot, he always makes the right pass to continue the rotations going. And that's what Lonzo does well too. He may not be a guy you can put on ball and run pick and roll, but he's a guy you can put on the wing, corner, wherever. And if he can take advantage of the situations that he's given, and that's always something to have.
100%. You know, Lonzo wouldn't meet all our team needs, but if we could get Lonzo and stay it over the cap team and then bring on another wing or another point of attack defender, that combination, I think, could be really, really effective. I don't think this team is far from being a quality, competitive playoff team. I think we're still a ways from being a contender, in my opinion. But you never know. I mean,
yeah,
you got guys like the Suns or the Hawks that, You know, Suns are the they're 2 wins away from a championship, and they've got, you know, Chris Paul and stuff, but they did stuff like, man, their wing rotation is phenomenal.
Yeah.
They've got Mikal Bridges and Jay Crowder. And then behind them, they've got Cameron Johnson, Torrey Craig, and Abdel Nader. I mean, the amount Torrey Craig they got for cash at the trade deadline. Cash. Mm-hmm. Torrey Craig, we played Lauri Markkanen, Ryan Arcidiacono, Patrick Williams. We played everyone on our team at some point probably at small forward. And none of those guys are small forwards. Torrey Craig would have been a way better option than any of them, and he got traded for cash from the Bucks. So those are the types of moves that really make a difference. Like, their 14th and 15th guys are like Etuan Moore and Javon Carter and Frank Kaminsky.
Yeah,
like they're not amazing players, but they're like they're guys Felicio.
Yeah, they're guys you can put in the game and they can do their job. You know, yeah. they may not be above and beyond, but you can expect them, like Javon Carter, Etuan Moore, you can expect them to do what they need to do. So,
or Cameron Payne, they got off the scrap heap, and he's been like one of their three best players in some games.
You know what? Let's go get Brandon Knight, man. Let's give Brandon Knight a shot. Let's get him off the scrap heap, and maybe Brandon Knight might be the guy. Maybe we get our Reggie Jackson.
If he's taken... If he's taking the Arch minutes, I'm all for it. For the Denzel minutes, I'm all for it. I always remember that missed layup he had at the end of that game once. You know what I'm talking about? I think it was against the Nets. He was on the Bucks. I think it was against the Nets. He had that. He blew a layup again. That was crazy.
Poor Brandon Knight, man.
I know. Man. But you know. Those guys, like, you gotta take those chances, and so you have to rely on AK finding those diamonds in the rough. Reggie Jackson, right? Reggie Jackson's on the scrap. He was gonna retire from basketball. That man probably is gonna get a bigger contract next year than Dennis Schroeder, maybe. I don't know.
Man.
MG Blazer, you're scared to leave Denzel. See, Denzel's fine. I think Denzel is a skilled player. He did not have a good shooting year, but he can shoot, he can pass. He was a passable defender. He just makes some silly decisions sometimes that, you know, but he's in the right fit and situation. I think he can be an effective player. And I think he was at times for us this year. So you never know. Or maybe at a ceiling. You never know. Those are the gambles, but you gotta be able to make those gambles. You gotta bring in those guys. And that was my only disappointment, I think, from the end of the season, was that we didn't cut some of the guys that weren't getting playing time. To bring in guys that, you know, we could bring in for, like, Austin Rivers or Torrey Craig or, you know, guys like that. Off, you know, they weren't doing anything, but neither were our guys. So those are the types of moves you got to make. So a couple more guys I want to talk about just really briefly. I know we're already an hour and a half. So, but like Goran Dragic, he could be a stopgap. He's got 1 year left at like $19-20 million.
Yeah.
He's aged, but he's another guy that could kind of fill that gap for a year, help our rotation a little bit. Now, guys that are higher up on my list, but I don't think are available, are guys like Malcolm Brogdon, Monte Morris.
Mm.
I would love Monte Morris. I would love D'Anthony Melton, or even like Slo-Mo. That would be fun to have Slo-Mo on this team. Taylor Horton Tucker. It's another guy at the wing. He might get paid. I know people are down on Kyle Kuzma a lot, and he gets clowned, but he has improved tremendously on the defensive end, actually, and I think he's got more juice. And his contract is fairly reasonable, so I think he's another guy like Marvin Bagley that could help fill in that power forward rotation.
I like what he said, and this is all I'll say, but I like what he said. He said it's hard to be consistent in an inconsistent role.
It is.
And
Troy Brown Jr. said a very similar thing, right, when he got traded from the Wizards. He's like, I didn't even know how to get on the court. I didn't know what to do.
And that's on the coach. It's not on him. That's on the coach.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Another guy, Andrew Wiggins, would be – I mean, he's not unknown, but depending on what the Warriors do, he would be great at the three, and his – I think his – when is the contract up? I can't recall. Let me bring it up real quick. The Warriors, I think he might have 2 years left. Yeah. Okay. He's got 2 years left at 30 something million. So that would be a little tougher. Clippers, Patrick Beverley. I know people hate him now, I think one of the LA teams is going to try and get Kemba Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens, the Clippers are going to need to shed some salary. And Patrick Beverley has a 1 year deal for $14.5 million. He's a great point of attack defender. I know Russell Westbrook says he's all talk and he tricks everybody, but the man can defend. He's maybe a little overrated, but it's a great price point for 1 year. And if you can get him in a deal where you help facilitate a trade of Kemba Walker,
yeah,
why not? The Blazers, you mentioned Derek Jones Jr. He's got like a $9 million or so player option, I believe it is.
Something like that, yeah.
Or it might be a team option. I can't recall. But one of those two, he could be, I mean, for that price, he would be a great addition. The Mavericks, Jason Richardson.
Or Josh?
Josh Richardson. What did I say? Jason? Why did I say Jason Richardson? Wasn't he on the Sixers a long time ago?
I think so. Yeah.
Josh Richardson, who had a terrible year, but who is a good point of, or used to be a good point of attack defender and was a much better shooter than he showed this year for sure.
Yeah.
He could be probably had on the cheap. They may not bring him back. So that's another guy. And then on the same team, Jalen Brunson, depending on what they do at backup, he could be a really nice pickup.
Come home.
It'd be really fun. So, that's what I got. That's I kind of went through every team and just said who could be available, who could be on the move. And so these are the types of options, though. They're not always the sexiest options, but these are the types of options I think we really, really need to be looking into. 1 year deals of veteran point guards or finding some trades for guys that bring in a point of attack defense at a reasonable price. Thanks, Chris. We appreciate you. It's late, but we're on our best facial expressions right now. So I think we might have exhausted the trade scenarios. I know we didn't get into like the trade machine a lot, but those are all guys I think that we could get with the types of assets that we have available.
Mm-hmm.
And if we did, you know, if we could just trade one or two assets, or veteran players or veteran contracts like Aminu, and then use a Mac and use the MLE to bring in another wing, or you know, whatever we get in the trade, use the MLE to do the other thing and then bring in like a cheap big or draft and then draft another wing. I think we could really, really have a really fun season next season. I think Zach and Vooch can really fill it up. And if we can put the right pieces around them, I don't see why we can't be the Knicks or the Hawks this year, as far as, you know, their record. And, you know, we don't have an offensive engine like Trae Young, but I don't see any reason why we can't do it with the pieces that we've got and with AQ running the show. So that's what I've got. Let's see. I don't think there's any more comments, but I appreciate you guys for commenting the whole time. Thank you so much for your contributions. We depend a lot on you guys for the conversation, keep the conversation going, bring up interesting thoughts and questions, and hopefully you guys can check us if we say something out of whack. If you got any more Ben Simmons hate or criticism, you can direct it at Laro. It's @_LaroHoops. You can talk to him about Ben Simmons all day. Don't talk to him about Derrick Rose hate, though. Don't do it. We'll block you.
You know. Hey, man, you know what? I've gotten to the point where, you know, I think it just doesn't matter anymore. I just need to move past it. So, you know, hey, everything that you guys have to say about D-Rose, man, you know, one in there and out the other. That's where it's going to go going forward. Yeah, man.
All right. Before we go, though, I'll let our listeners know next week we're going to start getting into the draft a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I know you've been doing some heavy video film review, breakdowns and stuff. You said you might have some writing on the way. Yeah. I'm excited to see it because I'm not a big draft guy. I just don't have the time to look through all the prospects. I don't know how you do, but somehow you have time. but I'm relying on you, and I know we're going to have some guests in the next few weeks leading up to the draft. They're going to be really exciting and hopefully have us all informed going into the draft as to what the possibilities are, what we want to look out for at the 38th pick, if we think maybe we could trade into the first round or if there's some other opportunity there. But anything else you want to say about that?
I mean, I have about one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. I got about eight guys that I think are realistic, but I think I'm going to break it down to about maybe three or four. Okay. And I mean, there's one guy in particular that the more and more I watch his film, the more and more I would love to have him on this team. We'll see, man. It should be fun next week. Should be one. I think once we get done with here, I think I'm going to watch some more. See, here's the thing, man. It's what I do is I just lose sleep. That's my thing. So when the kids go to sleep, wife goes to sleep, I got my laptop, I got my headphones, I'm watching tape, clipping, watching tape, clipping, watching tape, get enough clips, move on, man. You know, so I mean, I think that's the secret to how I'm able to watch a lot of things. I just lose sleep.
I can't, man. I can't lose sleep anymore. I can't do it. I gotta think too much at work, and man,
I feel you.
But more respect to you. More respect to you. So, but it's to our benefit. It's our benefit that we get to reap the benefits of your lack of sleep. And so look forward to that. We appreciate you guys once again. We'll talk to you guys next week. And if you know, want to like, subscribe, let other people know where they can find us. I know we've had people sometimes have trouble finding our show. You can find it on any podcast platform. Just search the Barroom Network. So the Barroom Network has the entire lineup of all the different shows. If you like the Bears, the Blackhawks, Cubs, Sox, the Bulls, like we do, you can get the whole lineup there. Our show always comes out kind of that Saturday evening, Sunday morning time. So you can look for that if you are only interested in our show. But let other people know. Larry and I have gained several hundred followers since the beginning of the year, since we started this whole thing. Really appreciative of you guys supporting us, following us, interacting with us. It's made this experience so much better. And every week our show gets a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer, five, 10 minutes long every time. We just got so much fun stuff to talk about. It's just fun to interact with you guys. So we appreciate you.
Yeah, man. Hey, shout out Salim. Hey, man. You know what? I don't know what happened to Daniel Foy, you know, but shout out Salim for always being here, man. And Santiago. Santiago's been here too. Maybe not as much as Salim, but he's been too, man.
He's catching up, Salim. Yeah. You better watch out.
But yeah, man. Hey, if you want to, Salim, tonight we could do that, man. Let me know. You know, we can watch some film tonight. Just let me know. But I'm happy to. I'm gonna say this again, man. I'm happy that we connected and we're able to get this thing going, because I believe like only up from here, man. You know, there's a lot of things coming in terms of the season. A lot of things to talk about. A lot of things to break down. And I'm happy to do that with you. So let's do it, man.
Likewise. All right, Bulls fans, we'll talk to you guys next week. And look for us on Twitter. We'll have more fire tweets, and Larry will have more video of the USA games.
Get your mayo chup as soon as you can.
No. Where are y'all going? See you guys. See you.